Welcome to the Gorgons and Gods podcast. With all the fun facts about myths from across the world, as always, I'm your host, Eric, and now it's time to dive into the land of the gods. Quick disclaimer before I begin. There are some references to sexual assault and rape in this episode. Of course, there is nothing graphic. Just don't leave this episode on for your 10-year-old. Throughout this first season of the podcast, we will discuss everything about Greek myth. And in today's episode, we will discuss the fourth major Olympian god, Hades, the king of the underworld. The screams of tortured souls fill his halls. The ghosts of the dead float through the caverns. This is, of course, the land of the dead, the underworld. After the Olympian gods defeated the Titans, the three brothers, Zeus, Poseidon, and Hades, drew lots to decide who would divvy up different parts of the world. Hades drew the rule of the underworld. The underworld is sometimes referred to as Hades in reference to the ruler of the god dead, Hades. Hades was, of course, the son of the Titan Cronos and the Titan Rhea. Hades, like his siblings and all the other previous gods we discussed in this episode, was swallowed by his father whole and lived undigested in his father Cronus's stomach. See back to episode 2, I think. Until he eventually escaped. During the war of the Titanomachy and the Genotomachy, Hades used two main weapons, wielding them to great effect, destroying many giants and titans. The Helm of Darkness, which was a great helmet which could turn him invisible and strike terror and fear into his enemies. Hades also used a bident, which is like a two-pronged spear, or a version of the trident, just without the middle point, if that makes sense. Bident, trident, you get it. Now, the underworld itself is described in many different ways, but the common way is seen as a giant cave underneath the earth, like a huge rocky domain deep beneath the bowels of the earth. The underworld is surrounded by five rivers, and I will probably not pronounce all of these correctly, so bear with me. The Socapes River, which is the River of Lament, the Acheron River, the River of Woe, the Phlegethon River, the River of Fire, the Lycian River, Lycia River, and the Lethe, the River of Forgetfulness. And then there is finally the Styx, the River of Oathbreakers. So, don't break your oaths. There's a river there for you. As you died, your soul would be led to the underworld by the god Hermes, the messenger of the gods. Upon arriving in hell, the ghosts would pay the river boatman Charon, a not Chiron, centaur, but Charon, the boatman, they would pay him a gold coin in order to cross the river and get into Hades. If you had no money to cross the river, then your soul would be stuck wandering forever just on the banks of the river. Now, in ancient myths, ghosts are called shades, and I'm going to continue to call them shades from this point forward. The gates of hell is made from diamonds and precious gems, as well as the bones and skeletal structure of the dead. Standing above the gate was the three-headed dog Cerberus, who guarded the gates of Hades to make sure no one could ever escape. Cerberus is a three-headed dog who was the son of Typhon and Echidna. See episode 4, I believe, but don't quote me on that. After passing through the gates of the underworld, a shade would be summoned to the three judges, Rhadamanthus, Minos, and Iakos. Can't pronounce Greek names. Who were all once great living kings, most of them the sons of Zeus. And if a shade was deemed to be evil in his life, then he would have to spend eternity in punishment and be sent down to Tartarus. If a shade had been deemed to be meh, then he would be sent to the fields of Hades, where he would just wander for all eternity. And if a shade was said to have been a great person and lived a great life, then he would be sent to the fields of Elysium to dine with heroes and feast forever on all that he could ever want in joy and love. Now, deep within the fields of Hades, there was a giant palace This was the house of Hades, where he lived with all the shades who served him, and had gold and precious gems filling every chamber. Something many don't know about Hades is he wasn't just a god of the dead. He was also the god of all the riches underneath the earth. He had access to any precious metals or gems he could ever desire, and was sometimes known as the wealthy man of the dead. Now we come to Hades himself. Hades was described as many different things throughout mythology, but typically he was a tall, strong, imposing figure, typically garbed in dark blacks, holding his spear and wearing his, or not a spear, holding his bident and wearing his helm of darkness, a very imposing and regal figure. Now Hades figure doesn't feature in all that many myths. He was fairly distant and lived most of his time in the underworld separate from the Olympian gods, and thus does not play a role in many major myths. However, the most important myth where he plays a role is, of course, his kidnapping of Persephone, which we covered part of in the Demeter episode. But now you get to hear the rest of the story. Now you see, Demeter had lost her daughter in the previous episode, episode 10, and had wandered the world searching. But now we're going to see what was happening that whole time in the underworld. Hades loved the daughter of Demeter, Persephone, and wanted to marry her. But he couldn't get her alone long enough to talk to her. So what he did was, with the help of his brothers Zeus and Poseidon, he kidnapped Persephone and brought her to the underworld. Demeter was, of course, distressed. See episode 10 for more details about Demeter's distress and what she did. Now in the underworld, Persephone at first raged against Hades for kidnapping her and stealing her from her home of sunflowers and joy and bringing her to this dark, awful place. So she spent a while just locked in her room, doing nothing but crying and screaming. Typical teenage girl kind of thing. That wasn't meant to be sexist. Anyways, after a while of her tormenting, I guess, being tormented by her kidnapper, I should say, Persephone began to explore her new home and explore the realm. She began to fall in love with Hades, and she loved his riches and his wealth and his beautiful kingdom and everything about it. One day, after they'd been together for many months, and Hades and her had begun to really care for each other, Hades brought her to this amazing garden, which he said he planted in the underworld just for her. It had taken all his skill and all the ability of the shades he'd gathered to help plant this garden, because nothing should grow in the underworld. Persephone immediately fell in love with the garden and was amazed that Hades loved her so much that he would go to such lengths. She resolved right then and there to marry him. The two of them were wed. After the ceremony, Persephone began to want something to eat. So Hades plucked a pomegranate, and Persephone ate 6 seeds from the pomegranate. Just then, the messenger of the gods, Hermes, appeared before Hades and demanded that he return Persephone, or else Demeter would destroy all human life on Earth by letting nothing live. Hades, of course, refused, but Hermes told him that Zeus was backing Demeter on this one, and that Hades could not refuse without all-out war with Olympus. Thus, they decided that Persephone had to return, but when it was discovered that Persephone had eaten the food of the underworld, this complicated matters, because no one who has eaten the fruit of the underworld can return to the surface. Thus, a deal was established. Persephone would spend 6 months of the year with Hades in their palace, and spend another 6 months of the year above ground with her lovely mother, Demeter. This was the seasons of the year. During the spring and summer, Demeter was filled with love and joy for her daughter Persephone's return, and thus everything would flourish and live. During the winter, everything would die as Persephone left her mother Demeter to return to the underworld with her husband Hades. This is the primary myth in which Hades features. He plays small roles in other myths, such as the myth of the labors of Hercules. Hercules' 12 labors, the final labor, was to retrieve the hellhound Cerberus from the underworld. And Hercules, of course, talked to Hades before he kidnapped Hades' dog. So that's a major myth where Hades plays a role, but we will not discuss that until the Hercules episode later in the podcast. Another myth is when Hades was 1 year lonely, as Demeter and Persephone frolicked above the surface, Hades had to spend 6 months all by himself without his wife. So he decided to abduct an ocean nymph called Lucia to make her his mistress. However, ocean nymphs don't survive very well in the underworld, and she died very soon. There are several other myths like this, about Hades trying to find love outside of Persephone, because he's so lonely without her, but it ends up ending in tragedy almost every time, and after a couple tries, Hades basically stops and just resigns himself to the fact that his queen will always be Persephone and no one else, which in my opinion is good, because we already have enough out-of-marriage romances with Zeus coming up in a few episodes. Now, before we close today's episode, let's discuss Hades' impact on day-to-day Greek life in ancient times and in Roman times. Now, Hades, or in his Roman name, Pluto, was renowned and respected by everyone because, of course, he held life after death for all of them. So, in ancient days, he was renowned and respected. His temples were everywhere. There were sacrifices and altars to him at all places. He was a very important everyday god that many would pray to, especially just before a loved one died, or if they were going to war and loved ones might die. However, he was also prayed to for many other things. He was prayed to for riches and wealth due to his connection with underworld jewels. He was prayed to for safety in certain things, which is interesting to me because he held, you know, the power of death. But something very interesting is many feared Hades more than just their respect for him. Many just feared him as a supernatural force and as more of like a boogeyman. He was seen as sometimes evil in certain connotations, but always as a necessary evil, a righteous justice after death sort of way. Now, many even feared to speak Hades' name, thinking that it would bring death sooner in some ways. So he was a respected and well-known god. However, something that modern culture has seemed to have gotten wrong about Hades is he wasn't actually the god of death. He was the god of the dead, but Thanatos was the god of death. Thanatos was the grim reaper who came for your souls and killed you at the end of your days. But Hades merely proctored what happened after death. He was merely the king of your eternal immortal afterlife. He was not actually the bringer of death himself, which is a modern misconnotation of his role. There are many other mistakes in modern misinterpretations of Hades, especially in fantasy games where he's often seen as the villain, even though Hades wasn't a villain. He was more of just like a crazy recluse in the basement. But if you ever want to play a game where Hades and the rest of the underworld, as well as most of the gods, are fleshed out in great detail and talked about and have real personalities and emotions, I highly recommend the video game called Hades. It's won tons of awards for art and style. It's a great game. It's a roguelite. I hope you'll really enjoy it. It talks a lot about Greek myth. And if you just want to learn about Greek myth while still enjoying a great storyline, a great game, I highly recommend picking up the game Hades. Thank you for once again joining me in this week's episode of the Gorgons and Gods podcast. As always, I've been your host, Eric, with everything on mythology. Please consider following, sharing with a friend, and if you have time, pop over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a review. It really helps to grow the podcast and help new people find it and listen. Thank you. If you enjoyed what you heard here today, then stick around, because in next weekend's episode, we will be discussing the fifth major Olympian god, the god of the waves, sea, and earthquakes, Poseidon.